Today's episode of A New Beginning is brought to you by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Learn more at harvest.org. And while you're there, browse our library of free ebooks designed to help you grow in your faith.
There is a new world coming. It's out with the old and in with the new.
What will eternity be like? Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie gives believers a sneak peek at what to expect.
No suffering, no separations, no accidents, no courts or prisons or divorces or breakdowns or breakups, no more heart attacks, no cancer, no more famines, no disasters. God makes all things new.
This is the day.
It's a challenge to think about the glory of heaven when we're confined to the stark realities of life on earth. Life here just can't compare with life in the hereafter. But today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out how earth has a role in our eternity. Pastor Greg explains just what happens when the fullness of God's end times plan unfolds. It's part of an enlightening series on those things every single believer should know, a series called Essentials.
Now, you've heard the expression, manna was like heaven on earth. You maybe even used it. Maybe after a fantastic meal or an amazing sunset or arriving at Disneyland. Probably not. That's probably more for the kids, right? I think the happiest time for a kid at Disneyland is when they arrive, and the happiest time for an adult at Disneyland is when you leave. Am I right? Oh, let's go now. But we use that expression to describe sort of the best of something, a pinnacle, a great moment. And we wish that time we were having, it was that ultimate vacation or that fantastic experience could last forever. But of course they don't. But one day there literally is going to be heaven on earth because there is a new world coming. Not just up in heaven, but when heaven comes to earth. Now, we tend to think of heaven as some faraway place, and earth is a place that we're on now, and we will leave never to see again. But here's the good news. We're going to come back to this earth again. God still has a plan for planet earth. So there will be heaven on earth one day. And by the way, it's just not a sequel, but a remake. Sometimes they'll make a great movie and it's very popular, and so they'll do, you know, a sequel. And then if it's very successful, they'll do prequels, right? Remember, there was Star Wars, and then there was The Empire Strikes Back, and those became very popular. And then later, Lucas came back and did the prequels to the Star Wars films, which I didn't like at all. But, you know, and then if a movie's really popular, it'll be re-released, and maybe they'll go back and digitally restore it and put it on Blu-ray or whatever. And so you can see it in its original condition. But I want you to understand that this is not merely a restoration. This is a full remake, yet there is a connection to the old. So let's try to figure this out. Look at Revelation 21. We're reading verses 1 to 6. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There'll be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to he who thirsts. So we'll stop there. Look at verse 5 again. Behold, I make all things new. And the new world that is coming, it's out with the old and in with the new. There'll be no more terminal diseases. No more hospitals. No more wheelchairs. No more funerals. No suffering. No separations. No accidents. No courts or prisons or divorces or breakdowns or breakups. No suicide. No rape. No missing children. No drug problems. No more heart attacks. No strokes. No Alzheimer's. No cancer. No more famines. No disasters. God makes all things new. I think we all like to get new versions of something. I mean, all the fanboys out there who love Apple products will stand in line to get the latest, whatever it is that Apple is offering. We're excited about the newest version. We always want to have the latest thing. Or it can even be the new season of your favorite TV show. Oh, it's coming on. I can hardly wait to see it. Even that new car. How about the new car smell? Don't you love that? I was with a friend the other day, the brand new car, took me out for a spin. This car just had the new car smell. So I left a burrito in it. I haven't told him yet. He's going to know this very soon. No, I didn't do that, but it'd be interesting. But that's why advertisers will often say new and improved on a product. Now, the only thing that may be new and improved is actually the packaging or the color. Or maybe they added one ingredient so they could technically say new and improved, but they do that because they know we're drawn to the newest version. We love new. Well, listen, God loves new too. But in God's case, this is not false advertising. This is the real thing. What started in Genesis is brought to completion in the book of Revelation. Everything is coming full circle. C.S. Lewis said, and I quote, "Every taste of the Shadowlands was but the stab, the pang, the inconsolable longing for this place," end quote. Lewis would refer to life on earth as the Shadowlands. So he's saying everything has been building to this moment. Chuck Swindoll wrote an outstanding commentary in the book of Revelation, and he noted the following, 10 things missing from the new heaven and the new earth. Number one, there's no more sea, Revelation 21:1. That's because chaos and calamity will be eradicated. There's no more tears, because now we have perspective, Revelation 21:4. There's no more death, because mortality will be swallowed up by life. Verse 4 of Revelation 21. No more mourning, because sorrow will be completely comforted. Verse 4 of 21. No more pain, because all human suffering will be cured. Verse 4. No more thirst, because God will quench and satisfy all desires. Revelation 21:6. No more wickedness, because all evil will be eradicated. Revelation 21:8 and 27. No more night, because God's glory will give eternal light. That's in Revelation 21. No more closed gates, because God's doors will always be open. Revelation 21, 25. And finally, no more curse, because Christ's blood has lifted that curse, because Jesus is making all things new. Now listen to this. This is already, as far as God is concerned, a completely done deal. Now you might be saying, well, Greg, no, it isn't a done deal. Do you live in the same world that I live in with all the chaos right now? Yes, I do. But understand, God lives in the eternal realm. And so in verse 6, he says, it is done. It is done. Even though it isn't done in our life yet, in reality yet, as far as God is concerned, it's done, because the term that is used here speaks of finality. Literally, they have become, past tense, meaning that God is speaking of the future as if it were already in the past. And that's because God, living in the eternal realm, will tell us what's going to happen. And if he tells us this is going to happen, it's not like God is going out on a limb, because he can see it with absolute clarity. And he is simply describing reality to us. So when he says it will happen, it will happen.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
Emails, letters, and phone calls let us know that you're gaining benefit from Pastor Greg's teaching. It's valuable feedback.
I get Pastor Greg's emails daily. And every time I get one, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me in that email every single day. And it's made such a huge difference in my life. I can't wait to look at it to see what the Holy Spirit has to say to me through him.
I listen to your program every morning at 6:35. No matter if I get to bed at 10 o'clock or 12 o'clock, I'm always up to hear it. It just energizes me when I hear the message. It gives me new hope every day. God bless you.
We're so grateful to hear how Pastor Greg's messages are touching lives. And if you have a story to tell of how these studies have impacted you, why not call us and give us all the details? Here's the number, 1-866-871-1144. 1-866-871-1144.
Well, today, Pastor Greg is bringing insights on the end times. We're learning of the new heaven and earth as a part of God's plan for eternity. And to hear any part of the message you may miss, go online to harvest.org.
Now, in this series, we've been looking at last day's events. And I think sometimes people can't see the forest for the trees when you talk about eschatology or the end times. We get confused, like, when does the rapture happen? When does the second coming happen? Where does the millennium fit in? So let me just do a quick flyover and bring us to where we are at this particular moment. As far as I'm concerned, the next event on the prophetic calendar will most likely be the rapture of the church, okay? That's when we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Then I think really on the heels of the rapture, we have Antichrist, who we've already talked about, that coming world leader, also called the beast, emerging on the scene. That effectively inaugurates a seven-year period that is called the Great Tribulation. That, interestingly, does not begin with war, but it begins with peace. Because Antichrist uses peace as a ruse to deceive people. The Bible says through peace, he will deceive many. In that tribulation period, we'll have the rebuilding of the Jewish temple that needs to be desecrated. So the third temple will be rebuilt, and that will be called the abomination of desolation. We have wars breaking out, culminating in Armageddon, and then there's a second coming of Jesus Christ. So that's sort of the big prophetic picture. So here's how it works for us. When a believer dies, they go straight to heaven, because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul talked about how he had a desire to depart and be with Christ, which was far better. But we haven't received our new body yet. See, your body goes into the ground when you die, but your soul goes into God's presence. But then in the bodily resurrection, which happens at the time of the rapture, that's when those who have died will receive their new bodies. They've been in heaven, but they'll receive their new glorified bodies at that point. And those who are alive will not die at all. They get to skip death, which is very cool, and go straight to heaven. Now, will we be that generation? I don't know. I hope so. We could be, but we'll see. But one way or another, here's the good news. You're getting to heaven, okay, if you've put your faith in Christ. That's all that really matters when it's said and done. Now we're in heaven, okay? The tribulation is happening on planet Earth. Sometime after the rapture and before the second coming in heaven, we as Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is not the great white throne judgment. That's the big one for non-believers. It happens later. This is the judgment seat of Christ. Don't be freaked out by that, because this isn't a judgment as to whether or not you get into heaven. Fact is, you're in heaven for the judgment. Think of it as an award ceremony, all right? And that's when rewards will be given out for faithful service to the Lord. And the Bible talks about the crown of life that will be given and the crown of righteousness and other rewards. And so then we're going to have the wedding supper of the Lamb somewhere in that time. And then we'll be with Jesus when he returns to the earth. Okay, so here we are back on earth for a moment. The tribulation period is raging. The battle of Armageddon is in full force. And here comes Christ returning to earth. This is different than the rapture. And the rapture, we go up. And the second coming, we come down. What goes up must come down. In the rapture, he comes for his church. And the second coming, he returns with his church. At the rapture, we're caught up It's like a thief in the night. And the second coming, every eye will see him. Jesus says, as the lightning shines from the east to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. And then Jude talks about the Lord coming with 10,000s of his saints. And then Paul tells us who those saints are in Colossians. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall also appear with him in glory. So we're coming back with the Lord. So that's good news, isn't it? Right? So if you've never been able to take a tour with us to the Holy Land, you're going to get that Holy Land tour. You're not coming back in a bus, though. You're coming back with the Lord himself. All right, now, here's where it breaks down for some people. Christ comes back to the earth and establishes what we call the millennium. How long is the millennium? It's 1,000 years. That's what the word millennium means. That's where we get the word millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But this isn't the end. During the millennium, Satan is bound by a chain. So then here is this time where Christ is ruling over the earth. And this is going to be an amazing time because the Bible tells us this is when the lamb will be with the lion and the little child will lead them and there'll be peace on earth and the righteousness of the Lord will fill the planet. And then after this, Satan is released from his pit for a short time, and a brief rebellion takes place. This is mind-boggling to me because, see, we're not going to be the only ones around in the millennium. We're in our glorified body at this time. We're ruling over others. Who are we ruling over? Descendants of the descendants of the descendants of the descendants of the tribulation people. There'll be mere mortals that will survive the tribulation period, and we will rule over them, okay? Now, we're temptation-proof at this point. We're in this brand-new glorified body. But these folks are still in a sinful body. And amazingly, despite the fact that Christ is ruling righteously and perfectly in the millennial reign, some people are going to follow Satan for his little brief fling of rebellion. Then he is completely judged and removed from the scene. And it is around that time that the great white throne judgment takes place, and that is for non-believers. Now, at some point, the old earth is destroyed. In Isaiah, God says, I'll create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. The first heaven and the first earth have passed away, verse 1 says. Elaborating on this, 2 Peter 3:10 says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements will be disintegrated with intense heat. The earth and all of its works will be burned up according to the promise. We look for these new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So now here comes the culmination of all things, the grand finale. As the French would say, the pièce de résistance. Is that right? Did I say it right? It means, who knows? I don't know what it means. It's the big event now, the big moment. Now, heaven and earth have, in a sense, merged to become one. And the last marking of time was given to us in Revelation 20. So now the millennium is over, and we enter into an eternal timelessness. This is hard to wrap our minds around, isn't it? Have you ever gone on vacation and, you know, you've gotten to a place where you're so relaxed you don't even know what day it is? I don't know about you, but when I go on vacation, it takes me 7 days to reach chill factor. 7 days where I actually can just stop thinking about all the things I need to do. And what's weird is even when you don't have your cell phone with you, have you ever gotten a text without a cell phone? That's when you know you have a cell phone on you too much, right? You get the little, oh, someone's gone. Oh, I don't have a cell phone. That's weird. Well, it takes a while to relax. And then you just, you know, you're kind of enjoying the time. Now just multiply this thousands and thousands of times and you get a sense of this timelessness in the presence of the Lord. Now, the Bible does tell us there's no more ocean. I know this is a big letdown for all the surfers out there. But here's what I know about God. If God takes away something, he always gives you something better in its place, right? So maybe there's no ocean which separates mankind from one another. God's removing the barriers that separate us to bring us all together, but we'll have something far better than that. For starters, that we won't have to deal with cold water. I don't know about you, but I like to surf. Like, I was just talking to someone about this the other day. I said, I feel like I'm always learning to surf. I mean, I've been surfing for like 35, 40 years. I don't know. And every time I get in the water, it's like I'm just learning because I never surf. I only go when conditions are perfect and the water's warm, which is really rarely. So I'm always just, how do you catch a wave again? Like, what is this? You know? And I like warm water. I don't like cold water. There's diehard surfers out there that go out no matter what the conditions. You know, those guys that get out there on the dawn patrol and they get to catch the first waves while it's dark out still. That's not me. So I'm thinking what God's going to give us in this place. First of all, it's warm. It's not cold. And there's no great whites to worry about. That's good news, isn't it? And if there are great whites, they'll be Christian, I'm sure, you know. I heard about a Christian that was out surfing and he saw a great white coming at him and he said, God, help me, God, deliver me. And, you know, this great white's coming fast and he didn't know what else to pray. And so he just said, God, I just pray he's a Christian shark. Make him a Christian shark. And just at that point, as the shark is closing in, the shark says, Lord, for this meal that I'm about to receive, I give you thanks. You say, Craig, haven't I heard that with a bear? Yeah, I just changed it to a shark. This is not a true story. At present, 2/3 of the Earth's surface is covered with water. The remaining 1/3 includes a large area rendered worthless due to mountains and deserts. Therefore, only a small percentage of the Earth's surface is inhabitable. So God is eliminating these barriers. We all come together. And then we're with all those great men and women of God that have gone before us. I mean, just imagine it. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elijah, they're all there. Sarah, Ruth, Mary, David, Noah, Jonah, Peter, James, and John. They're there too. And then great people from history like William Wilberforce, Abraham Lincoln, C.H. Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, C.S. Lewis, and best of all, your loved ones that have gone before you. They're there too, and you'll all be together for all eternity. But best of all, of course, is the Lord is there. And this is what Jesus was talking about when he said in Matthew 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Today on A New Beginning, a glimpse into the future with Pastor Greg Laurie from his message called When Heaven Comes to Earth. It's part of his series, Essentials, a collection of truths every believer should know. Now, if you missed any part of today's insight, let us help you catch up. You can listen again online at harvest.org. Just look for that title, When Heaven Comes to Earth. Well, Pastor Greg, we're so pleased to have Sally Lloyd-Jones on the program with us today. She's such a gifted children's author.
Yes.
And we're making available her new book called Near. Pastor Greg?
What do you hope the takeaway truth is for the little one? In other words, when they read this, what are you hoping they walk away with?
My prayer is that they never feel that they're alone, that they always know they have someone who loves them right there that they can talk to. And he just happens to be the one who made the entire universe, and that he knows their name, knows the color of their eyes, that he cares for the littlest ones, even though he's a great majestic God, and yet he cares for little ones.
Could you just read a little bit of it for our listeners?
I'd be happy to. Okay, Near, a paraphrase of Psalm 139. And of course, I have to say, I'm only going to be telling you half the story because this is a picture book and it's a story told in two languages. So like I say to children, you'll have to use your imagination because there's incredible illustrations, but you can't see them. So you've got to make them up in your head. Okay? So, Near. God is my father who made everything. And I am a little explorer of the wide world. He is near me and he protects me. He sees me and he knows me. He is strong and he looks after me. He is with me always. However far I go, he is always near me. I could climb the biggest mountain. I could fly to the highest star. I could dive into the deepest sea. I could sail far, far away, to the North Pole, God would still be there. I could trek through jungles, ride through deserts, zoom as fast as light. God would still be there. Even in the dark at night, he is still with me there. He stays close to me, and he won't ever leave me, because I am his little child, and he loves me.
Wow. Yeah, that's Sally Lloyd-Jones, reading from her new book called Near. Isn't that great? Think of what reassurance that would bring to your child or grandchild, or what a great gift for a new parent. We'd like to send this new book, along with a second resource from Sally, Babies Carry Along Bible. It's a sturdy little board book for small children with 10 of their favorite stories told in rhyme. And it even has its own little carrying handle built right in. We'll send both of these resources to you to say thank you for your donation right now, an investment in keeping Pastor Greg's teaching coming your way each day. So write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org. Well, next time, Pastor Greg digs into God's master plan for the restoration of planet Earth. We'll see how it'll be restored to the way he originally planned it. Learn more next time here on A New Beginning.
Hey, everybody, thanks for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Harvest Ministries, follow this show and consider supporting it. Just go to harvest.org. And to find out how to know God personally, go to harvest.org and click on Know God.